Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
Welcome along to Dublin Arsenal Review Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the show tonight, Monday the 26th of January, I'm joined by regular guests Eamon Donnelly and David Sims, and also by Man United fan based in Costa Rica, as we all know from our preview show, Mike Stevens, to debate and analyse yesterday's 5-goal thriller at the Emirates Stadium yesterday. The Dublin Arsenal Supporters Club are doing a special Stanley Arsenal giveaway on Valentine's weekend. Competition will run in the FA Cup week of the weekend athletic fixture. More info on our social channels. So sit back and enjoy the show. First things first, to my guests, my panel tonight, freshly off the plane from Gatwick to Dublin. Eamon Donnelly, how are you? How was the train journey?
Evening, Jonathan. Evening, Mike. Evening, David. I was on conjunctivitis.com there. That's a sight for sore eyes. I was reading the book there, The History of Glue. I couldn't put it down. There you go. Yesterday was just a nightmare for all sorts of reasons. But look,
Eamon got that joke from C36C on the Ryanair flies, if you're wondering. That was a good one. I'm also joined by David Sims. How's the suntan, David?
Yeah, it's good, but you know, I was glad I was here yesterday. I'm glad I wasn't on any pub after that game or on any public transport listening to, you know, I just want to say before we carry on to all the viewers and listeners watching this, this is not AFTV. So if you think you're going to get some sort of big meltdown, just unplug now and clear off, right? Because you're not having that here.
There's definitely not going to be a meltdown for my next guest, and that's for sure. Mike Stevens, also in Costa Rica. That grin on his face says it all. How are you, Mike? Welcome back.
Yeah, I woke up feeling good and 3 points heavier. No, I mean, look, it was... historically, it would go down as one of those classic Premier League games. You know, someone's always got to come out on the sore end.
Yeah.
On this occasion, it was you guys. But what a game of football in general.
Yeah, it was a 5-goal thriller. Like back in the old days between Fergie and Wenger days, wasn't it? Yeah, a real classic clash between two giants. Have to say, before we move on, I'm loving the short, Mike. I know Eamon Donnelly had something similar back in 1989 when we won the league, didn't you, Eamon?
It's the only red thing I've got, you know?
That's the old Highbury colours.
Don't come on all smug and smiley here with your Andrew Ridgely head.
I knew he'd take it, take it.
When will I be famous? Oh, when will I be famous there? You're very welcome, Mike, by the way. You're very welcome.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel the love. Yeah.
Eamon is part of the Rod and Mockers band. That's where he gets all the lines from. a cracking game yesterday, as Mike said. A 5-goal thriller at the Emirates Stadium yesterday afternoon on a match week 23 of the Premier League 25-26 season. Arsenal 2, Manchester United 3. Timber and Marino got the goals for the Gunners. Brian and Bremo, Patrick Dorgu and Matthias Cunha for the Red Devils. Arsenal's lineup: Roy in goal, Timber, Gabriel Saliba, Hincapié at the back, Tchouaméni, Rice and Odegaard in midfield, and Saka, Jesus and Trossard up front. Off the bench for the Gunners came White, Eze, Marino, Madueke and Gyökeres. Possession-wise, Arsenal had a fair amount, 57% to United's 43. Four shots on target for the Gunners, three for United. Nine corners to ourselves, two to United. 11 fouls from the Gunners, nine to United. And 15 shots for Arsenal to United's 10. Arsenal had won all 24 games this season when they had scored the opening goal before yesterday's loss. It was the first time in 122 games they have conceded more than two goals since December 23. The last five times Arsenal let three in were, of course, yesterday's game. December the 5th was in our 4-3 away game at Luton Town, where Declan Rice, of course, got that winner. November the 4th, 23, was against West Ham when we lost 3-1. May the 14th, me and Eamon were at this one, against Brighton at home when we lost 3-0. And April 26th against Man City when we got hammered 4-1. Thanks to Patrick Dorgu and Matthias Cunha, Man United are the first visiting side to score two from outside the box at the Emirates in the Prem for 17 years since Spurs in October 2008, which is quite a stat. In terms, Sky done a good graphic last night, and just want to just show it up quickly here, you know, in terms of Arsenal forwards form, and where I think it's going wrong, where we're missing, you know, a 15-20 goal a season striker. I know Kai Havertz is out, but this is just an interesting graphic that was put up. Bukayo Saka, no goals in his last 13 appearances in all comps. Victor Gyökeres, no, zero non-penalty goals in the last 11 Premier League appearances. Gabriel Martinelli, no goals in his last 13 Premier League appearances. Nani Madueke, none in his last 25. And Leandro Trossard, one goal in his last 11 appearances in all comps. In terms of the goals,
we're the second top scorers in the league. Get on with it.
It's an interesting
stat. We're the second top scorers in the league. And if you want to subscribe to Sky, have an attack.
If you're going to go on,
it's an 11-man game. You know, come on, move on.
If you're going to win titles, you need an out-and-out striker. Let's close that.
No, you don't. Because Man City won four titles without one.
This is the world according to Eamon, Mike.
I'm dealing with facts, Jonathan. We're the second highest scorers in the Premiership, and you're reading some bullshit off Sky, which is compiled.
Eamon, we're down to come to
your.
We're down to come.
If you want to do an AFTV podcast,
again, Eamon,
I'm out of here. All right.
This is Eamon's last show, by the way, lads, because we're not. This is our. Right, goals conceded yesterday, lads. We're down to go into this instead of our goals scored because there were two scrappy goals. Tchouaméni's poor back pass fell short, and Brian Mbeumo, in fairness, latched onto it quite quickly. And I thought Ray could have been doing a bit better in terms of this one. He should have been out quicker. But it was a coolly taken finish by Mbeumo, but Saliba put him in trouble. No one was looking for the ball out from the back, and that's where Tchouaméni sadly got caught out. But look, Tchouaméni's had a terrific season, hasn't put a foot wrong. And you know, it was very similar to the Bournemouth game with Gabriel when Evan Nielsen pounced on it. You know, it was just one of these mistakes. The second goal we conceded, Dorgu, it was one of those worldies. If he'd done this 9 times out of 10, it probably would have flown over. You know, he just took it, you know, just cushioned nicely on his right foot and he buried it. And Roy had no chance, you know. Did it hit his hand? If it hit. We've seen it with Mikel Merino's goal that was disallowed against Villa last season, you know, when Havertz got in the way. Probably would have been given against us. You know, not just saying this because Mike's on the show, but possibly would have been. And then, of course, Cooney's goal was just another worldie from outside the box. You know, what a finish. And two and a half minutes after Merino's equaliser, I said to myself, I'm sure Eamon was the same. When you're in the ground, here we go. We're going to get the winner. And when you can see the sucker punch like that, there's no way coming back even, you know. I don't have to come to Amy because I was in work yesterday. I sadly just saw the highlights of the game, a match of the day last night. It was just with the big build up that there was ahead of this game, you know, I was expecting a bit more, you know, but I'm going to come on to you, Amy. You were at the Emirates yesterday. What was your take in the game?
Okay, and I'm going to, just from Mike's benefit, I always try and be objective, right? I was at the game, had a good view of it, and I'll rattle through this because I'm really interested to hear what the other lads have to say, right? But I'll rattle through it quickly. First of all, it wasn't a 5-goal thriller. It was a terrible game, right? It was absolutely shocking. We were shocking. United were good, but they only needed to be good. They didn't need to be any better than that because we gift-wrapped them a game, right? So United came with 10 behind the ball, rinse and repeat. Every team does it, and they're entitled to do that.
Yeah.
But we got a goal, and we went 1-0 up, right? And that should be the platform to say, well, they can no longer leave 10 behind the ball. They've got to come out and play. They did, and what did we do? Saliba and Gabriel, for some reason, decided to play on the edge of their own box. So they created a whole pile of space for United to start passing their way into the game. The press that we have, depressing press, right? It's depressing. I'm looking at Martin Odegaard.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm thinking, that guy doesn't look right to me. He doesn't have the same yard coverage that he used to have. So our press was like a zigzag. It was not like you can't press all the time in football because if you do, you're gonna run out of gas. You have to pick your moments. But
Yeah.
when you pick your moment, you go like a squad, right? And you go at it, right? We didn't do that at all. There was times when Odegaard is waving people on and Jesus, and what that allowed to happen was Martinez to start dictating the game on the halfway line. Martinez, a defender, very good player by the way. He start dictating the game on the halfway line. He's passing through our lines. We've only got half a press. United had all the ball, and that's where the Zubimendi mistake came from. When Saliba gets possession of the ball, all the talk last night was that he could have gone down the line, he could have shanked it, he could have done. He couldn't. I watched it again before I came on the show. When Saliba gets the ball, the angle that he receives the ball in. Short of building it out into the stand, which professional footballers just don't do. They
Yeah.
try and do something constructive with it. He's given a poor ball to Zubimendi, and Zubimendi's miskicked it. I don't agree with you about Raya. I actually thought Raya did really well. He got a hand on it. You know, I don't think he could have come out any quicker. I think what he tried to do was hold Mbeumo up to give a defender time maybe to get around. And Gabriel very nearly got around the far
He
side.
did, in
So
fairness to him, yeah.
that's 1-1. That kind of sucks the life out of the second half. United bossed it, 82% possession until Dorgu got the goal. Let me tell you about that goal. I'm standing behind that. It nearly took the net off the posts. I've never in real time seen as powerful a shot as that.
Did
It
he
was
get lucky
ridiculous.
aiming, you think?
Well, I think when anybody scores a goal like that and they don't do it 5 times, 6 times a season. There's
Yeah.
a bit of luck involved. There's a
Yeah.
bit of skill involved. It's just one that he caught on the meat and caught it right. I don't think it was a handball, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I think it played off his arm in the direction he was running. However,
Yeah.
I think Harry Maguire's save was an all-day handball. Like they said, oh, well, he was falling down anyway. He's falling down with his hand in the air and it blocks a shot. That is a handball all day long. And hell, there's not more
He
noise
was
about that,
handball
right?
aiming,
It
it
was
was spot
handball
on.
all day long, right? But the Dorgu goal wasn't. So then we get back into the game. I think he didn't need to make four changes at once. The change I was screaming for was Martinelli,
Yeah.
and that didn't happen. Now, I don't know.
Yeah.
There could be a physical reason. We don't know what's going on with the players. So we ring the changes, and at this stage, I'm thinking, okay, look at if we get a draw out of the game, it just keeps a little bit of momentum. Bristol, it's another very, very awkward opposition, done and dusted, finished with. They have a
Yeah.
5 point. We get the goal, right? And we deserved the goal at that time. We were pressing and knocking on the door. We get the goal. And then all I can say about what happened next is catastrophic, right? For the start, we're going to try and win the game, right? So personally, out of the stress involved, I went for a pee, right? And I'm thinking, I'm gonna get back for the injury time to watch this pushing on. I'm coming down the stairs and I'm watching Cunha put the ball in the goal, right? But I look back at it, so it's an absolute catalogue of errors, right? So Saliba decides, in an effort to get us to win the game, to go on a brilliant run, finds Matuidi with a lovely ball. Matuidi has one on one and three men inside him, and he runs it out of play, right? He then, instead of resetting himself in a rush to get the game going, gives the ball to the goalkeeper, who puts it down, whacks it up the pitch. Saliba gets too tight to Sesko, and then we have a combination of Mikel Merino falling over twice, right? And then Declan Rice. Let's talk about him for a second. Declan Rice, for the second and third goal yesterday, the challenges that he made to try and win the ball back were half-hearted, right? And he's going around waving his arms at everybody else. And I'm getting a bit sick of him now. A spell on the bench mightn't do him any harm, right? It's not Declan Rice FC. Declan Rice's attempt to dispossess Cunha. I'm telling you, if that was Man City, Cunha would have ended up on his arse and he'd have been left taking a free kick from 35 metres. Right? Declan Rice gets nutmegged with a half-hearted effort. Not good enough, right? And then I don't think Cooney, I don't think it was a worldie. He used Gabriel as a sighter. Perfect. The defender was in a perfect position and he gets it round him. Look, it was a bit of a freakish game, to be honest with you. As I said, and Mike, genuinely, United were good, no better than that. This all this revival bollocksology, they've been terrible all season, up and down, and all of that good stuff. And you said, yeah, you're 3 points heavier. Well, you're 12 points behind. So, let's put it into perspective. Let's not get carried away. But what I'm saying is, United were good, no better than good. But Arsenal were shocking. It was a terrible day out for us. It wasn't the manager's best day, but he certainly doesn't deserve some of the stick that I had to hear. I'm going to finish on this. I had to get a minibus back to Gatwick because the trains were an hour and a half delayed because of the net engineering stuff. And the stuff I actually put on my phone, and Jonathan, you would have got this message, too sickened to discuss, right? I was too sickened to discuss. I just wanted to shut down, right? And I'm getting WhatsApps off Arsenal fans, your thoughts, please, your thoughts, please. No, too sickened to discuss. Now, that should mean to anybody who knows me, stop texting me, right? Okay. And I was overhearing some of the conversations from people I didn't know in the minibus because we arranged this very quickly. And one of the comments was, with the amount of English players that we have now, we should ditch Arteta, wait for this one now, and bring in Gareth Southgate. I mean, I don't normally
Not
use
even I
expletives on the
throw that one
show, but
out.
for absolute fuck's sake, would you fuck off and go on to AFTV and leave us alone? Because listening to that kind of stuff is bad for your mental health,
That's
right?
it. That's a ridiculous
And look, people should remember, this wasn't a fatal blow, and this is my last line. It was a bad blow, but not a fatal blow. These players have to step up, as does the manager, right? And we need, I think, a good win. If we got a good win at Leeds, it would really reset us, and everybody just calm down. But if we don't get a good win at Leeds, we're under pressure.
It's 2 points from our 2 points from 9 points in the last three Premier League games. But it's not a damaging result by any means. Still 4 points clear of Man City and Villa. David, another five, four, same as this, wouldn't say it's a 5-goal thriller, but a decent game nonetheless. What was your take on yesterday's game?
Well, I mean, obviously, I can't really follow Eamon's discussion. He was at the game, and what he just said there, I agree with 100%. But I'm just going to go around the other side a little bit for this. And me and Mike have known each other for quite a few years now, and I'm going to be as respectful as I can on all of this. But what I'd like to talk about Arsenal for a second is that, again, I've talked about it. You know the key points. One, this is a roller coaster. Two, it's January. Three, no one wins it in January. Okay, 4 points. I've told you already, 4 points, 7 points. To me, it's all the same. The points don't matter. You've all got to play each other, and we've all got to get through to the end. And I say this every week. There will be highs and there'll be lows. And this sadly was a low. But what I will say is, that, and this is flipping it a little bit positively. We lost to United. Okay, now years ago, this would have been catastrophic because United probably would have gone ahead of us in the league. But there is a big gap because United have been under unbelievable, bizarre games, like losing to Grimsby in the FA Cup, changing their manager all the time, you know, nearly getting relegated last year. You know, they're a team on the way back up who want to be like Arsenal, but at the moment. So, yeah, it was a bit of a freak, but I said this in the preview show, it's Arsenal Man United, anything can happen. It was their cup final, right? And they're not in anything else. And Michael can go into detail about that. But what worried me about yesterday was that Jesus started, which was bold, but he looked like he was wearing clogs the whole game. He was just absolutely terrible. Again, in the last 3 minutes of that game, 4 minutes of the game when we conceded, we did the same at Sunderland. We did the same at Villa. I've gone into detail about that being our Achilles heel, not being able to close out games. And once again, but this was at home, which is more frightening, right? This could be a massive lesson. It has to be a lesson. It has to be that absolute kick in the head, kick up the arse for Arteta to shape these players. Because if we're going to go on to do what the other things we want to do this season, this needs to be the last and the final blip. Like, we know it was a blip. We know it was something, a standalone game. Yeah, whatever. But we can't have another one of those, right? We need to centre and we need to improve across. What did also, you know, it was quite obvious. You can go back and look at the fixtures. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows we've been incredible. We've had these four away games. We've had all these intensity over Christmas. This was like a Christmas hangover game, but sadly it was against Man United. Now, if we'd have lost yesterday to Brighton in a 3-2 thriller, people would be going, oh, well, you know, because it's Man United, the toxicity and the madness and the things that are going on is so raw. If this had been Spurs, it would have been absolutely, you know, it wouldn't have meant anything. Because, you know, they're more near the relegation than they are anywhere, right? But the point is, it was Man United, so it seems really, really bad. I just want to mention a couple of things about the game. Yeah, it wasn't a pleasant watch. It wasn't like watching the Milan game in the week, which we all enjoyed. This was a bit different. But again, you know, there were mistakes. I mean, Zubimendi, I mean, it was just an assist. It wasn't anything else. It wasn't a mistake. He literally just gave him the ball. I mean, the United player couldn't have played it on the you know, with a pass to see him in, right? Which was just so unbelievably unheard of. So forget about that game. The second goal, yeah, maybe it touched his hand, whatever. It'd be very harsh, you know. We've seen them given, we haven't seen them given. That's football. It was a great strike. You don't want to see that not being disallowed because, you know, what is football about? A little niggle touches his shoulder, it touches his, you know, whatever, right? He didn't palm it. He didn't do an Henri. He didn't do anything like that. Exactly. But let's talk about the biggest point for me personally in the game. Take Kuno's goal. Maguire's dive to save, right? Two goalkeepers. And Mike, we can argue about this, and I know I'm seeing you in a couple of days and we can take it further. However, if he'd stood on his feet, right, and he'd gone and he'd had his arm down and hit him, be like, oh yeah, you know, usual position. But the guy dived to where the ball was coming to try and stop it, left his feet, became a goalkeeper, and then put his arm out and hit it with his hand, right? To me, that is, it's in no doubt, it wasn't in a natural position. A natural position as a footballer, he's standing there, right? Defending, making himself look big. This guy went across. He did a diving save. He was the extra goalkeeper on the pitch, and he took his hand. Should have been a penalty. Now, whether that would change the outcome, I don't know, but I was very surprised that that wasn't given because, you know, everybody on commentary were going, well, it's his hand, you know, it's clearly he's got it. It was actually his hand. It wasn't his arm, whatever. He went down and he palmed it with his hand, right? So, overall, we have to shake ourselves off. We have to go on. We're going to, you know, Wednesday night, I'm expecting Gunnosaurus, the tea lady, the ticket man to start on Wednesday night in the Champions League. It's a no, you know, and then, and maybe shake this team up completely for Saturday against Leeds, which obviously is a massive game now. But, you know, it's if you want to be playing the team and who know we're going to be up for it, we talk about the rinse and the repeat 10 men behind the ball. Leeds are slightly different. They will play a bit tight, but they will want to come out and play against us for sure. I would like to go over to Mike because I want to do a little bit of a wrap at the end as well. So that's from me for now.
Thanks very much, David. Two from two now, Mike, from Michael Carrick. victories over Man City and Arsenal isn't a bad start. And to give,
gonna have to give him a job now, Jonathan.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I was just going to come to that. The board might change.
Me or Carrick.
Do you think definitely a new bounce effect for Man United, of course. Did yesterday's performance shock you at all, Mike? United being so brave as they were?
You know what? It's one of those things where, you know, we've done it so many times this season or under various managers where we have like a good win and it's like, we're back. You know, we've been back more times than John McClane in Die Hard. I mean, it's just like... There comes a time where you're like, you can't be back again. You know, like you're either back or you're not. And I think it more or less went as I predicted it would go, which was, you know, we would try and stay in the game in the first half. And I think we did well. I think, you know, we didn't give you many chances. You know, I noticed you said it was a Timber goal. I'm pretty sure it's gone down as a Martinez own goal.
The more lucky is, look at that, it was actually Timber that scored us.
Okay.
Yeah, he does kind of back flicked us, but it looked like Martinez scored us.
But I think if it was a Martinez one, I do think that Nicky Butt was probably giggling somewhere like a schoolgirl when that happened. But look, I'll run through my notes very quickly. I don't want to, you know, take up all the podcasts being a pro United. But I felt that the results prior to the game put more pressure on Arsenal than United. I was hoping for the fixture would go the other way around, not for Arsenal's sake, but to make a bit more space around United. Didn't go that way. I think apart from Brentford. Losing, I think it put a bit more pressure on Arsenal, and I think not it showed, but I think maybe there was, you know, an element of like, okay, if United come at us, we've got to, you know, try and contend with that. And I think Le Mans was great. I think there was a early chance where he overcommitted on a cross, and he recovered his feet and he made a great save. He made a great save at the very end of the game as well. He's a very unknown keeper who's come into this team, and he seems to have brought a level of control that you wouldn't expect from some unknown keeper from Belgium. So I think, you know, props to him for doing that. I think that Arsenal's goal was deserved because they were the only team really providing something. But what I was most proud of as a United fan was we just went straight. Fernandes could have scored twice within minutes after going one down. He completely scuffed one chance. Saliba made a really good recovery challenge on the second chance we had. And then, you know, you touched on it. I think Zubimendi, it was a gift. But Mbeumo, if that was Rashford, that would have gone wide. The Rashford of, you know, last season or the last couple of seasons. I think Mbeumo did really well to, you know,
he didn't
smell out the danger instantly. Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah, he didn't.
And, you know, look, David Raya is he's no mug, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, two worldies from outside the box and that one. You know, to beat a keeper like that, it's not simple. That's why you've not conceded more than three goals in so much time. So the immediate response was really, really impressive. And I think Dorgu for that handball. Now, the more I've seen it, I think it does touch his side, but what he did really well is great body awareness. His arm was as tight to his body as it could possibly be to not like give VAR. Yeah, like if he'd moved his arm slightly, VAR would have called it as a handball. But he did so well to literally as tight as he possibly could. Like he had no arm there.
He was nearly looking down at his arm when he looked at him, hoping he didn't, you know.
And I mean that strike, I mean, that's a player playing with confidence. Shame he went off injured at the end, but that's a player that, you know, he scored an important goal the week before and I think repaid his manager's faith. Harry Maguire, look, yes, I think it was a penalty, but I do think if it was the other way around, people would be saying, where do you want his hand to be? You slide in for a tackle, your hand's going to go on the ground. It's an instinct.
It's the kind of one where... tackle, Mike. He didn't slide in for a tackle. He slid in to make a block on the shot. Like, if he was sliding in for a tackle, you've no control of where your hands have been, other than you try and break your fall. He didn't do that. He slid in to block the shot.
If it goes for you... Yeah, look, I think, it's, like I said, I think I believe it was a penalty, but I think it's the kind of one where when they go against you, it hurts a little bit because it's a defender, you know, they're...
Yeah, because he's a numpty who made a bollocks of it. Yeah, exactly.
But like I say, I come in peace, you know. Is he always like this?
He's this is aiming 2.0.
You went through what I went through yesterday, you'd know. with your little trees you can there see behind this, you.
When Eamon has the Earth
You've never taken a bus in Costa Rica.
that Earth attack is usually
I think just lastly on, look, I think again, Man United of a few weeks ago, a month ago, a year ago, would have settled for 2-2.
I was just going to actually say that to you, Mike. Yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth. Did that actually surprise you, United going for the winner at that stage?
I mean, it was like, whether they could just smell blood, you know, yeah. The players are on the pitch, right? They can sense the body language of their opponent. But the fact that they just went straight up the other end.
Yeah.
And Cunha as well, fair play to him. Two games on the bench. He was one of our big signings. Came on with the right attitude to be a team player. Have the confidence to strike it from there in that moment, and again to beat arguably the best keeper in the world at the moment, absolutely incredible. But my question for you guys more than anything else was, what surprised me most about Arsenal, when that third goal went in, there were still, including stoppage time, 10 minutes to play. Arsenal looked like they just conceded defeat. They looked deflated. There was no urgency to take kickoff. Their facial expressions, their body language. As fans watching that, wanting your team to go on and win the league this year, did that surprise you? Did it concern you? Or what were your feelings on that?
Right, okay, I'll come straight. Oh, Eamon, 1 second. I can just jump straight in with that. You're absolutely right. It was something that I was messaging to people while that was happening. I think... Ben White holding the ball, you know, he's doing a throw-in. He's taking 15 seconds to do a throw-in. We're trying to get back in the game. I think it wasn't that they were deflated. I thought United managed those last 8 minutes very, very well by breaking up play continually. And we were doing nothing to try and get back and win that game. And I think, yes, human nature, right? You know, not robotic footballers, but you can see that. You saw that the other week when Man City lost and they were completely out of it and they were down or whatever. You could see it in the players' faces. When you get back and you have that, that's why the sport is so unbelievable. It was upsetting to see. And I think it's something that you've noticed, I've noticed, Arteta will have noticed, and it's something that they will work on to try and improve. Because as I said in the preview show, if this had been a quarterfinal in the Champions League or a semi-final, we were up against Madrid or Barcelona or Man United, you know, we want to go and draw that game or win that game. And it's something that this team is constantly learning from. So, yes, well spotted. And I think that will be discussed internally.
Hold on a second now. I was in the ground.
Right? Go on.
And I can tell you, Jonathan, United didn't go to win the game at 2-2. United decided to settle for a 2-2 draw. And we made an arse of it, right? Because all of the energy in the stadium, it was almost like the Reece Nelson moment when Marino equalised. All of the energy in the stadium was with us, right? And if you look at the passage of play, because what I did before I came onto the show was I rewound those 10 painful minutes and had a look at them all. And Saliba was so intent on bursting a goal, right, to get us to 3-2. He beats two tackles, gets up the pitch, gives it to Madueke. And if you look at the Arsenal, we've got three players inside him. All he needs to do is get the ball across the box. But Madueke he does like going down to the byline and cutting it back. He overcooked it. He then handed the ball to the United goalkeeper. United only had two players up the pitch. That's not going for a win. But we decided to be a Rolls-Royce driven by Laurel and Hardy. And Moreno fell over twice. Not once, twice, right? Declan Rice decided, look at you, I'm Declan Rice.
It was a feeble attempt to make a tackle on Cunha, yeah.
There was only two. Like, so I'm just saying, it was a brilliant goal, and I'm not taking that in the way, Mike. It was a brilliant goal. It wasn't because United decided that they smelled blood and they wanted to win again. United were quite happy with the 2-2 at that point. The keeper hoofed one up the pitch. 2-5.
Yeah.
And they scored.
That's more than 9.
Anyway, that's not to take credit away from Cunha, because it was a wonderful goal. But you've got to ask the five, like, you know, seriously, lads.
But
2-5. Eamon,
I forgot to ask you this as well. You know, no wins in the last 3 games. You know, it's a blip. You know, I'm not saying it's a crisis, but would the last 3 performances in the Premier League worry you at all with the remainder of the season? or do you think this is just the overload of fixtures?
Because
January, we
actually, I'm going to call it out. Arsenal have been shite all season.
Yeah, you've said that we haven't touched top
They've been
four.
shite all season.
Yeah.
I've been to every home game bar one, and we've been rubbish, with the exception of the following games. Nottingham
What do you think
Forest.
that is, Eamon, in your opinion?
I just don't think we're playing well. I just think there's a weight of expectation on the team.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to get everything too precise, too right. I think there's a lack of what's the word? Spontaneity in the team.
Do you think we
but you
rely
know
too
what?
much on set pieces, maybe? You know?
No, it's nothing to do with set. I just think that coming second 3 times in a row is a hoard.
Mentally,
And by
yeah.
the way, for anybody who's old enough to remember, the 2001 team, 2002, who won the league at Old Trafford, and I was there that night, right? They lost 6 games. They had a Stewart's inquiry by losing 4-2 at home to Charlton. They were 4-0 down. And that was Vieira, Bergkamp, Pires, Henry. You know,
Yeah.
this can happen. I just think that there's more in that team. And I think if we went to Leeds on Saturday, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if we went to Leeds on Saturday and got a really solid win, the energy can change, the dynamic can change. You know, I just think that we're being weighed down by the burden of expectation at the moment in the Premier League. We're playing free as a board in Europe, you know. But despite that, we're 4 points clear.
Do
So
you feel,
everybody just
Eamon,
needs to take stock, you know.
Can this team afford any more slip-ups?
Yes.
You know, you
yes.
feel that you can.
Well, yeah, because if you think Man City are going to win all their games and Aston Villa are going to win all the games,
the way the seasons that they're having is not going to happen
no,
now.
They're
yes.
just not going to win all the games.
Yeah.
David, can I just
that same question to you, David, that I put out to Eamon, the Sky Sports that Eamon hates. Would the forward line form worry you at all, the stats that I read out?
No, not at all. No. Not at all. That stat is created by my good friend Philip Gary Neville. And it's just bullshit. It's bullshit. It's just, you know, stats can be absolute nightmare. It's a Neville propaganda thing. But what I will want to say is we always talk about real facts here. Our next games are Leeds. Then we got obviously Chelsea in the next leg of the Carabao, and then we got Sunderland at home, Brentford away, which are all doable and they should be. And we talk about Man City, and in the end, you know, we parked Man United, we lost, we've got to move on. But you know, City have got Tottenham away, Newcastle at home, Liverpool away, Fulham at home, right? They are hard games in any shape or form. We know Tottenham will probably just roll over and let them score 10 as they normally do. But then again, Frank isn't going to want to do that. And Spurs have done quite well against City recently. What I would like to say about the where we are and where we're at and about this, about, you know, the blip, about this blip, I'd rather this all happening now at the end of January going into February than has this happening in April, right? We've got these games left. We've got a good run of games now. Hopefully, we're going to have a bit of a break in the week with the players. We haven't got the extra Champions League. Let's get to the final of the Carabao Cup. Let's win that, hopefully, by beating City. And then see where we're at. This journey has got a long way to go, guys. You know? And all of this stuff about, and all this bullshit I'm reading and hearing about bottling and stuff, right? This is January. We're 4 points clear. We're not playing well. We haven't played well, but we've got the squad depth and we have the quality, and the quality will rise to the top, right? And we're getting all our players back. We've nearly got a completely full squad. So all of this moving around, I think we've raised...
David,
you know, but go on.
David, one thing, Calafiori is a huge miss.
100%, 100%. And when he comes back, and also having Havertz coming back in, listen, it's cold, it's wet, it's damp back in Europe. It's not here, but it is back there. But the sun is
shining.
Thanks for
reminding me,
here.
David. I'm depressed.
The sun is shining out in Costa Rica, as me and Mike know. And I tell you, I'll be bringing the sunshine back when I come, guys. Don't you worry. I'm not
okay,
long away.
We have one
last very, very, very quick thing. January 1996, Manchester United were 12 points off the top and won the Premier League. Just yeah. putting it out there.
Yeah, but yeah, Mike, yeah, but number 10, Mike, number not 10 like that.
It's not April Fool's Day yet, Mike. Calm down. The best one I heard tonight, though, was Gareth Southgate for Arsenal. I like everyone's thoughts on that one. Is it possible at all?
No, it's not.
God, no. Imagine.
I think Arteta...
That's a sensible question.
It's Arteta no. out after this season to Eamon. No, very quickly, that's all laughing aside. Man of the match, very quickly, Eamon. From
it was Saka. Saka was the only player that really hurt them. You know?
Right. Dave is man of the match.
Eamon for going. Well done, mate.
Mike, man of the match for yourself?
I'm going with Dorgu. I think that strike earns it for me.
Yeah.
Mike, I can assure you, in the ground, Martinez was imperious.
I'm glad to hear.
I have to say, I was lost for words on my man of the match. I don't think anyone deserved it at all. That's my opinion on that one.
Saka was really good.
Actually, Gunnar Saurus actually coming out before the start of the match done really well. He gave it a good run down the touchline. Catcher Show on Spotify and the Dublin Arts and YouTube channel. And of course, the Sky Sports for the stats.